Wow, what an awesome day. I want to thank all of y'all for being here today. This is such a wonderful gathering. Oh my goodness, to see this church full like this really gladdens my heart. To hear our Connect band do such a great job of leading us in worship. Can we give them a hand? What a great song set that was. And of course, Glory Land. It doesn't get much better than Glory Land. I think y'all are going up to Bob Hope Village later on, aren't you? I had one lady come up to me and she said, "Brian, did you know that Glory Land is going to be singing at Bob Hope Village this Sunday?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, they sure picked a bad time. This is Faith in Action Sunday." I said, "Well, that's their faith in action, you know, so what can I say?" We have 22 teams going today. Now, here's a question for you. Did everybody find your seat? Maybe not. I know that we tried, and for the most part, y'all have done a good job, but if you wonder where your team is, or if you're sitting in a pew where you say, "I'm not part of this team," don't worry about it. It'll be okay. Thank y'all for bearing with us. This is our first Sunday doing this ever, and boy, what a great time it is. I want to give a special thanks to Lee and Karen Orr. They are the inspiration for all of this. And also to Kim Margold, who's been really the workhorse of all this. Where's Kim? Is Kim here today? I think Kim took the day off. No, there she is back there. Okay, very good. Well, I wanted to take just a moment and answer some questions that may be in your mind. Namely, why are we doing this on a Sunday? And why do we call work our worship? Because for weeks now, we've had this kind of motto, "Let your work be worship, let your worship be work." And I'm like most of you in thinking that work and worship are two different things. That work is what I do day in and day out every day, and worship is what I do on Sunday or Saturday, because we have Saturday services too. And we shouldn't mix those two things up. In fact, aren't we supposed to be resting on the Sabbath? Isn't that what the Bible says? I want to give you some thoughts on this about how we can make sense of all this and how, in my opinion, this is a good way to honor God, even though technically I guess you could say we're working on the Sabbath. We usually worship in traditional styles, like in this sanctuary. We worship with the organ and the piano, and we have ushers and we have singers and the choir and all this kind of stuff, and that's our traditional worship. And over in the Family Life Center, we usually have our contemporary worship at 11:07 and also on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And then of course we have a ancient future service, which is more of the music we've been singing this morning. That's at 9:30. But however we do it, one thing they all have in common is that we're lifting up our praise to God. That the whole thing is, in a sense, a big prayer to God, is it not? But we're also listening to God's word and reading the scriptures and hearing the sermon and all that kind of stuff. The whole service is filled with prayer, music, symbolism, like the Bible and the cross and the candles. We have sacraments. We have fellowship. All of those things come together to make worship. So how is this day any other day? Well, this day is a day when we expand our understanding of worship to include work. Because as you know, we offer ourselves to God in every way that we can. And when you join the church, you pledge to join the church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. So this is part of it. So let's just talk a little bit about the Sabbath. You know, we all have different understandings of the Sabbath. At the very beginning, God ordained that we should work 6 days and rest on the seventh, and that is for our refreshment. God ordained that we should have a pattern of life a rhythm of life that goes from work to rest to work to rest. This is how our bodies are made. This is how our souls are made. Now, how do you call this? What do you call Sabbath, though? What is rest? The Pharisees back in the day, they wanted to do things right, so they tried to delineate what was work and what was not, and so they came up with these rules. And they said, well, walking, for example, is work, but you can't just stand still all day. So let's say 2 miles would be your limit. So Sabbath is no walking more than 2 miles. Over that, you're breaking the Sabbath. Or if your ox is in a ditch on the Sabbath, go ahead and take it out. That's the humanitarian thing to do. And they had all kinds of different rules. They still have a lot of different rules. I learned that when I went to the Holy Land years ago. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying we have different definitions of the Sabbath. But did you know in Jerusalem they have these hotels that are like 10 or 20 stories high? And they have a Sabbath elevator, and they have a Gentile elevator. Did you know that? Well, the Gentile elevator is just like any other kind of elevator where, you know, you get in and you push the button and you go to the floor you want. But on the Sabbath elevator, they consider that pushing buttons is a kind of work. So they change the way that elevator works, and you never have to push a button. You just stand in front of it. And eventually it opens up, and you step inside, and you don't push any buttons, and it stops at every floor. And you just wait till your floor comes, and you get off. That's how they do it. That's not our understanding of Sabbath. We have our own understanding of Sabbath, but even among ourselves, we tend to disagree. Years ago, when I was an undergraduate student at Texas Christian University, go Horned Frogs, I was working hard as a student, and all day long I would study and read and I'd write papers, and I was just tired of sitting around doing nothing. So when Sunday came, I decided I would do something quite different that would be refreshing for me. And I decided I would make a toy box for my son. I had everything that I needed except a hammer. I don't remember why I didn't have a hammer. But I went to the grocery store, I bought some groceries, and while I was there, I was going down the hardware aisle, and I picked up a hammer. As I was checking out, the checkout lady was checking out my bread and my butter and my milk and eggs, and then she got to the hammer, and she set it aside, and she said, I'm sorry, I can't sell you that today. It's the Sabbath, and that's work. We don't want you to work on the Sabbath. I tried so hard not to remind her that she was working on the Sabbath. But apparently she thinks working with a hammer on the Sabbath is work, but to me it would have been recreation. You know what I'm saying? So depending on what you do for a living, work might be Sabbath. If you have a desk job all week long, one of the best things you can do on the Sabbath is go jog for a few miles. And if you extend past 2 miles, I'm not going to say anything. What do we do when we come here to work? When we go out today and we're doing work, some of you are doing very physical work, like yard work or painting or carpentry. Others of you are doing mild work, like making sandwiches in the kitchen for everybody else, or even milder work, like sitting down and writing cards to people. All of that is work, and all of that, I think, and you let me know, but I think this will be a refreshing change for you, something that will revitalize your spirits, something that will make you supercharged to go into the next week, because you know that your work was worshiping God. I'd like to share with you a scripture, Romans 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Listen to this. This is your true and proper worship. Offering your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Now, obviously, when we come to church on Sunday mornings, that is offering our bodies. We don't let our bodies stay at home and bring our spirits or something. We bring our bodies into the sanctuary and we lift our hands up to God. And everything we do with our voices and with our ears is offering our bodies as a sacrifice to God. But is that the limit of our worship? No, I think when we offer our bodies, we're offering our talents and our gifts, and everything we do is proper worship for God. Brad, do you agree with me so far? Brad's our worship pastor. He knows what worship is, and one of the hardest working pastors we have, I'll tell you that. And all of it is worship. You just ask him, he'll tell you. He's nodding his head. Now, let me just extend a little bit further and continue reading in Romans chapter 12. Now I'm skipping to 4 through 8. For just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is in serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Whatever gift God has given you, make the most of it and give it to God, not begrudgingly, but cheerfully and with great passion. And this is your true and proper worship. Now, I'd like to point out one other thing. This verse, I've read it many times, and it passes over me sometimes, one particular phrase. It says, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. When you joined the church, did you feel like you were joining the institution called Shalimar United Methodist Church? Or were you joining the people? Do you realize that by being a member in this church, you belong to me, and I belong to you? And we all belong to each other? Because we know that the church is not just the building, it's the people. And when we join the church, we join the people in the ministries that we as an organization try to do. So that's why we're doing this today. It's our way of making a statement to the rest of the world, and especially to the community, that God is not confined in this building, that God goes out into the community and uses us as his heart and hands to show love, and grace, and mercy. We're going to have a bell choir going to a nursing home. We're going to have the Glory Land going to Bob Hope Village. We're going to have a worship team going to the jail to lead in worship. And all those other tasks, the cleaning, the yard work, the fixing of things, all of that is an act of worship. And I want you, as you go your separate ways, to keep that in your mind, that you are not just doing the work, you are proclaiming the word. That you are exemplifying what I've been talking about today, that we understand that our worship is our work, and our work is our worship. Y'all remember when Robert Schnazzi wrote that book, The Five Practices of Fruitful Congregations? Do you remember that? Maybe some of you can remember what they are, but I'll just lay them out for you. Radical hospitality, passionate worship, intentional faith development, risk-taking mission and service, and extravagant generosity. Now, I want you to take those five things and consider what we are doing today. Radical hospitality. Well, we try to be a church of hospitality, but radical hospitality is not just greeting people when they come in the door. It's going out to where they are and greeting them there. Would you not agree? So what we're doing today is worshiping God and showing ourselves to be a fruitful congregation through our radical hospitality. Passionate worship. Oh, I have loved the worship we've had so far. It's been a great day, but our worship will continue. And when you go out to work, do it with passion, and we will be a fruitful church. Intentional faith development. You know, we have lots of things for people to do in the church, lots of volunteer positions. And we don't do it just because we want free labor. We do it because we understand that in your work, your faith is built up. When you go on a mission trip, for example, quite often what we hear people say is, I feel like I gave it my all, but I got so much more in return than I gave in the first place. So too, as we do our tasks today and consider that this is an act of worship of God, it builds up our faith. And this is a very intentional thing, and one of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing. Risk-taking mission and service. Well, I hope this is not too risky, okay? We will have some people in orange vests on the side of the road, and think we will have some people in the kitchen using knives. But for the most part, I'm hoping this is not too risky. But it is mission, and it is service. And let it be to the glory of God. Generosity. Extravagant generosity comes when you not only give of your money that you have received and earned, but also give of your time and your talents. So let this be so today, that we're giving ourselves in every way, that we're presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, so that it may be our true and passionate, true and proper worship. Our church is not just a building. And when we go out of these doors, the church is going out of these doors. And this will be our way to be the church. Amen and amen. Well, I have